Thank you for that introduction. So today I'll be talking about work that's being done for my master's at Virginia Tech, and it will be on the foraging dynamics of honeybees in row crop production systems. So honeybees face many different stressors. These stressors can act on their own or in concert with one another. And these are just a few of those stressors. They're known as the four P's, and that's pests, pathogens, pesticides, and poor nutrition. So our research focuses specifically on pesticides and poor nutrition at a landscape level, and we're looking in row crop production systems. So we all know agriculture is huge in the U.S. The USDA found in 2012 that 340 million acres were used for row and sown crops. And these are great systems for us. We get really good resources from them. But there's a lot of debate as to the habitat suitability of these environments for honeybees and other pollinators. And there's a couple reasons for this debate. One being that oftentimes these systems contain monocultures. So with monocultures, you might have reduced nutritional diversity. Additionally, if you're looking at a crop like cotton, cotton tends to have lower nectar quality, and the pollen can be difficult for bees to actually transport. Pesticides are also sprayed in a lot of these environments, and these are really necessary oftentimes for actually controlling pests. But you could be exposing one individual bee, or she could take those residuals back to her colony. And then many of these crops are also self-pollinated. So there's not as much research that's been done on exactly what the interaction is between these plants and the bees. And particularly among pollination biologists, some people don't always see these as like a viable habitat for honeybees and other pollinators. But despite these factors, which may on the surface seem to preclude the bees, we can see that these do have flowers and the bees still visit them. So what we don't know much about are actually the foraging dynamics of honeybees in this system, specifically when and where bees lack forage. So what we want to actually do is go to the bees through what's known as the waggle dance. So in this dance, a worker bee communicates generally her foraging location to her nestmates. And she's communicating information about the distance and direction of a resource in the landscape relative to where the hive is. So it's something that her sisters can understand. You can see from this video, obviously we can see it with our own eyes. But we're also able to actually decode this dance and interpret what the bees are communicating. So we want to use this information to determine when and where bees lack forage. And we have a couple main objectives for this. The first one is to just look at the foraging dynamics. And with that information, actually assess what are their preferences in these habitats, and are they, in fact, being exposed to pesticides. Then we want to look at interactions between these factors and also look across the season. So again, looking at the foraging dynamics, pollen production, and any sort of pesticide application. So perhaps if there's less wildflowers available, they'll be visiting row crops more frequently and be exposed to more pesticides. And then most importantly, we want to be able to provide some baseline recommendations for how we can supplement forage in and around these systems, and again, whether or not pesticides truly need to be regulated. So this is our study site. This is at the Tidewater Agriculture Research and Extension Center, which is in Suffolk, Virginia. That's in Eastern Virginia. And here we set up three observation hives and filmed each hive, actually filming that waggle dance for 5 hours a week. And so with an observation hive, these essentially have glass panels that allow us to see into the hive. But despite this different configuration, we're still able to observe natural hive behavior. And then there's also tubes where the bees can freely move into the landscape. But we also put pollen traps on twice a week to collect pollen. And here we have a picture where we're actually filming the hive, essentially filming the dance floor. And we did that from April to October. Taking that video, we can now put it into ImageJ and frame by frame measure the duration of a dance and the angle at which a forager is dancing. And what we know from previous studies, both published and in review, is that 1 second of dance equates to about 750 meters of distance in the landscape. And so we can take this metric and translate what the bees are communicating in the hive to how that actually looks on the landscape. Where are they actually going? And we can make these maps. So this is a map that's been done in a previous project. But these maps tell us about visitation. So the areas that have sort of purple and pink are more visited, and the areas that have red have less visitation, and of course the areas with no color the bees didn't forage there. And these are also really important maps to look at distance travel. So distance is a proxy for resource availability. So bees are economic foragers. Flight is very, very costly. So typically if they're going to fly farther distances for a resource, it means that there's declining or less resources closer to the hive. And we can use this information to actually assess the ability of the landscape to actually provide for a colony, essentially using honeybees as bioindicators. So before I get into some results, we actually want to see what crops do we have blooming in our study site and at what times of the year. So we see in the spring that we have a lot of cover crops blooming, and then a period of time where there's not as much available forage until we get into mid-June into July, where the major row crops actually start to bloom. And this is what we found so far. So each of these dots represents an individual dance. And we're looking at the distance of a resource from the hive in mid-spring to early summer, and this is of last year. So again, distance is a proxy for resource availability. So if we look at these points up here at the top, those are resources that are farther from the hive. Whereas if we look at stuff that's a lot lower on the graph, those are resources that are closer to the hive. And so we can see in the early part of the graph, we have what's labeled as the canola bloom period. And that's what this red dashed line is indicative of, is the end of that bloom period. And the blue dashed line represents the closest canola field, which is about 900 meters from the hive at our study site. So we can see in the spring, they're foraging pretty close to the hive. And then as resources start to decline, they're now going farther distances from the hive. And then once we get into June, we can see that that's tapering off, where they're now foraging closer to the hive again. So we saw from the previous graph that there was some increase in foraging distance with declining resources. And that's what we would expect with bees being economic foragers. However, we're still continuing to actually decode dances from last year. So we don't have a full picture of any trends that may be taking place, and we don't really know if this is statistically significant. It's just, from what we know right now, it's what we would expect to see. So in addition to canola, we'll be very interested in looking at any effect of visitation following the cotton bloom and the peanut bloom, and specifically looking at resource availability. So are they potentially flying farther distances because they maybe prefer wildflowers over row crops? Or are they foraging on the row crops because that's what's closest to our hives and that's just what's convenient? We'll also be looking at the effect of pesticide application. So are they potentially avoiding certain crops because pesticides have been sprayed, or are they going to those more frequently? And so like I said, there's a lot more work that's going to be done on this project. We're decoding more dances to see specifically where they're going. We'll be conducting pollen analysis to see what they're foraging on and whether or not they're being exposed to pesticides to any degree. We'll use all that information to actually conduct data analysis, and then most importantly, provide any sort of supplemental forage or pesticide recommendations. And with that, I'd like to thank my lab, many summer workers, the funding source, and all of you for listening. Are there any questions?
Any questions for our speaker?
Yep.
With the waggle dance, very interesting, but how did you determine the direction, like, on that? I understand duration equals distance, but how did you get, like, the varying degree of the spread, I guess?
Yeah. So there's, the question was on actually, how can we translate the direction that a bee is dancing to, like, where they're actually going? And there's some complicated math and statistics in it, but essentially bees use azimuth, actually use the position of the sun to orient. So provided that we have that information and we're, whenever we film, we know at what period of the day we're filming, we can also assess what direction they're intending to communicate of that resource.
Any other questions? Thank you.